Welcome to Rhema for Today.
Amen. Just seemed like anything on the negative side. You know, after all, one of the first things Brother Bosworth made this statement to is not originally with me. I got it from him. He made this statement. He said, once you're born again, when you first get saved, the first thing God asks you to do is change your thinking. You know, not many Christians do. See, I think the devil really put one over, and they talk about, well, change your actions. Well, you know, I didn't change any of my actions after I got saved. After I got saved, they're just things I was doing before that I didn't want to do now. I didn't have to change them. I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. We went into Rhema's archives and chose Kenneth E. Hagin's classic teaching, God's Healing Mercy Series. Many people think of the Lord's mercy only in relation to salvation, but healing is also a mercy of God. Our loving Heavenly Father longs to see us healed, even more than we desire to be healed. This will be a great month of teaching. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, here's Kenneth E. Hagin with today's message.
Now then, in the scripture, compassion and mercy mean the same thing. In fact, this Hebrew word or noun that's translated mercy is also translated compassion. Sometimes they'll translate mercy, sometimes they'll translate it compassion. And then the Greek verb that's translated have mercy, have compassion. For instance, and we'll look at it later on, you remember blind Bartimaeus who sat by the wayside, you know, when Jesus stopped, said, you know what, would you? He said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then the scripture said, the King James translation, that Jesus had compassion on him and healed him. But actually, it's identically the same Greek word. The same Greek word translated mercy, and the same words used there when it said that Jesus had compassion, or he had mercy. That's what he asked for, was mercy, and that's what he got. Praise God. And so the same Greek word that's translated have mercy is also translated have compassion. And so another Greek word also, another shade of meaning from the same word, root word at least, is defined merciful. That is an adjective in this case, merciful, compassionate. Now to have compassion is to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. Hallelujah. I like every one of those definitions, don't you? Hallelujah. Let me say them again. To have compassion is to love eagerly, tenderly, to pity, to have mercy. Well, it said he's full, the Lord is full of what? Compassion. All right? Compassion means to love tenderly. He's full of love, then, isn't he? I said, isn't he? Well, the Bible said God is love. Hallelujah. So he's full of love. To have compassion means to pity. Read again and again in the scripture how it said the Lord pitieth them. Thank God he has pity. It means to show mercy. He is merciful, a merciful and compassionate high priest. It means to be full of eager yearning. When I read that definition, I thought about the fact that the scripture said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Where? In the earth. What's he doing? He's seeking those that he can have compassion on, can have mercy upon, can extend his mercy toward and his compassion. Brother Bosworth pointed out in his lesson that God is nothing so much as he is love. Well, thank God that's true. That's another way of saying, as the Bible said it, God is love. Now, you know, a lot of time people think of God in different terms. You almost wonder sometimes about, if you could bring into a, paint a picture of God, the way some folks talk about him, the way some folks almost describe him, what he would look like. And you know, of course, the devil tries to give man a distorted picture of God. Amen. And some folks, I don't know, it's hard for me to understand some people. My thinking's always been different. And that is, since I've been saved. Before I got saved, I didn't have much thinking. But once I became a Christian, once I became acquainted with him, it seems to me that some Christians I know, because I talk to them, I counsel with them as I can. I don't, you know, if I just did all that, nothing else, I wouldn't be able to get the job done. But some people, it seems to me, and I don't know why they do, I never did, but some Christians, it seems to me that they delight in finding some scripture to condemn themselves with. And they're just looking constantly for something against them. I don't know. I was always looking for something in my favor. And then they dwell on that. They think on that, you know. If they can find some isolated scripture to condemn themselves with. They'll get over there, you know, in Hebrews where it said, "For if we sin willfully," after we see, "Well, I might have done that. I may have done that." When I read, I always think, "Thank God I didn't do that." Amen. Just seemed like anything on the negative side. You know, after all, one of the first things, Brother Bosworth made this statement too. It's not original with me. I got it from him. He made this statement. He said, once you're born again, when you first get saved, the first thing God asks you to do is change your thinking. You know, not many Christians do. See, I think the devil really put one over. They talk about, well, change your actions. Well, you know, I didn't change any of my actions after I got saved. After I got saved, they're just things I was doing before that I didn't want to do now. I didn't have to change them. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Are you listening to me? But somewhere or another, your mind goes on thinking like it did. Amen. But that's one of the first things that God asks you to do is change your thinking. And most folks don't, even though their spirits are born again, even though they're filled with the Holy Ghost, they keep thinking negatively. Because you see, they're prone to think negatively. Everything of life, almost. Coming out here to school sometime, you're driving behind folks, you see the light's green, they'll start slowing down a half a block away because they're sure it's going to turn red. They just, you know, everything's going against them. All these things are against me. Amen. I mean, perfectly good people. No friend of mine, bless his heart, just he's the only boy of the family. God just blessed him financially. Now his mother, he brought up in Pentecostal home. Mother and dad saved, baptized the Holy Ghost. In fact, he's never gone to any other church in his life except Full Gospel Church. Brought up in barn, you see. Daddy a Bible teacher, Full Gospel Church. And his daddy a businessman and fairly successful, you know, made a good living and comfortably. But the boy now, I guess, you know, inherited some traits from his daddy, went into business and just outstripped his daddy. I mean, where maybe his daddy's worth $50 million, he's worth $150 million. Well, he'll just maybe be around them. He'll just praise God. Well, glory to God. The Lord's blessing me, you know, and we're going to, you know, going to do something else. Make another $50 million. Yeah, you know, and his mama particularly say, "Well, your days are coming." So what do you mean about my day? Well, you'll probably lose it all. You say, somebody saved, baptized, Holy Ghost talk like that? Well, how do you talk? Or used to talk, some of you. Huh? You see, if you're not thinking after God's thinking and change your thinking, you're going to keep right on thinking negatively. Things can be going good for you, and the blessings of God are yours, and the thought occurs to you, boy, this is just too good to be true. It can't last. Those thoughts ever occur to you? Sure. See, if the devil can ever get you back over on the negative side, he can whip you. Absolutely defeat you and rob you of the blessings of God. Amen. I remember when I, as a young Baptist boy preacher, was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues. And you see, that's the thing that brought me over, you know, among Pentecostal, Full Gospel people, was that I had been healed. And I believed in divine healing. And I'd just been standing alone for about 4 years. Boy, I mean, you just stand alone, you know. I mean, nobody else that I knew I believed divine healing except me. That's not always the easiest thing in the world to do. And so, you know, when these full gospel people came along, you know, preaching divine healing, man, I just went to meet them with open arms, you know, just like this kin folks. Man, to be around somebody believing divine healing was a real boost, a real spiritual boon to me. See? Well, now they preach something else. They also preach, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And as I've said before many times, I just simply said, well, I believe in the Holy Ghost all right, but I don't believe in tongues, and I'll just put up with a little fanaticism to have a little fellowship around faith and healing. But eventually I saw the truth. So on April the 8th, 1937, at 8 minutes past 6 p.m., in the living room of the Full Gospel Parsonage, 309 North Chestnut Street, City of McKinney, Texas, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. Spoke in tongues an hour and a half. Went down the street talking in tongues. I don't mean out loud, talking in tongues to myself. To church at 7:45. And here I am. You know how it is. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost, just sort of like you're up on cloud nine. You're walking on the clouds. And you know, boy, you just got to, somebody said, like I said, that silly grin, you know. And you're just so happy and so thrilled and full of ecstasy. First thing the same bunch told me was, said it won't last.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth Hagin's book, How to Fulfill Your Divine Destiny. Next is Lynette Hagin's book entitled, Along the Way, Building a Legacy that Changes Lives. Last but not least is Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Anchor Moments. All these items are for the special price of only $26. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
You know, you hear me all the time talk about becoming a word partner.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about somebody that prays for us regularly and sends an offering at least once a month, whatever they can afford to send,
yes,
to support Rhema. That's what a word partner is. And you can become a word partner with us by just going to rhema.org/WPC. And I want to thank all of you that are our partners.
Yes.
You're helping us to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. And I would welcome you,
yes,
to become a partner with us. And once again, let me give you that, rhema.org/WPC. We would welcome you to become a partner with us.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, God's Healing Mercy Series. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.